This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 30th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
June 30th, 2016 will now come to order. The first item that had been on the agenda, Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-05, Huckabee for President, Inc., that was withdrawn within the last couple of days, and so we will not be needing to address that. The second item on the agenda, which is the proposed statement of policy regarding the public disclosure of closed enforcement files, which has a number of agenda documents underneath that item, that is still also undergoing internal agency discussion. We hope to bring that back up at the next meeting that we have in July, and perhaps we can resolve it at that time. The third item that we have on the agenda, which is a revision to forms, this discussion that we're going to have today encompasses three different developments, the first of which is the initiative that the FEC is undertaking to update and enhance its electronic filing system. As we know, the vast majority of reports that are filed with the Commission are done so by means of electronic filing, and there's an effort underway to update and modernize that system. The second development is the upgrade of our paper filing automation system. There are still a number of committees and candidates that do file by paper, most notably Senate candidates. That's been the subject of annual legislative recommendations regarding getting Senate committees to file electronically, but we still do have a certain amount of volume of paper filers, and there have been efforts that the Commission has been undertaking to more efficiently and timely process those reports so that the data can be as readily available to the public as electronically filed reports. And then the third development are specific changes to the Commission's forms. To address specific, everything as minor as typos to more substantive changes. Those changes are part of the agenda documents that were on the, that are part of the agenda today, agenda document number 16-26-A. I should point out right now that we will not be voting on those changes. We wanted to make those available and, in essence, give the public a two-week comment period to look at those proposed changes to see if they had any questions, concerns, or any other thoughts on those forms. And I believe in the digest that the Commission will be sending out this weekend, we'll include the proper email address for submitting comments if anyone wishes to do so. And do we know just off the top of I don't know what that address is. What address would we be having interested individuals send their comments to?
It's not decided, and the mailbox isn't set up yet.
So what we will be doing is be looking at the digest, and we'll also send out other Oh, Mr. Noddy?
It should be set up within the next 24 hours after the meeting.
So we will submit further information on that so that people who are interested in commenting on the proposed changes may do so. I should also just step back and make mention that back last year we received a letter from a number of distinguished practitioners in the campaign finance field, including former chairman of this agency, Brad Smith, and Bob Lenhard. In addition to those two, Bob Bauer, Ben Ginsburg, Alan Dickerson, and Larry Gold submitted a letter that included recommendations to, for example, updating the changing the rules with respect to the administrative fine program, but also suggested a number of changes to our forms. Forms may not be the sexiest of issues for the public. It's not the one that garners headlines, but for those who are subject to our jurisdiction who have to register and report with the Commission, it's extremely important, and in terms of their ability to timely file with the Commission and file the most accurate reports possible. And so that generated within the Commission discussion on how best to address some of the specific recommendations that were included in that letter, many of which are addressed in some of the specific edits that will be that are part of the agenda documents that we now will allow 2 weeks for comments to be submitted on. So to kind of further flesh out this discussion that we have on these three different developments, we're going to turn to our staff director and chief information officer, Alec Palmer, who will talk about the proposed electronic filing system upgrades, as well as the paper automation system. And then following Alec, we have Debbie Ciccona, who leads our reports analysis division, to talk more about the specific changes to the forms that are being proposed. So I'll turn first to Alec Palmer.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to provide an update on these two initiatives, one just implemented and the other planned. Let me first start with the latter. Part of our IT strategic plan is to modernize our e-filing platform and the supporting internal processes and infrastructure. The electronic filing system was designed in the 1990s based on the available technology at that time. For a community that had little experience with online filing, if you compare technology years to dog years, that makes our system 20 years old, which equals it's 140 years old now. Time for a change. The e-filing platform is a crucial component of the Commission's campaign finance disclosure system. For example, we have over 8,000 committees and other filers using the e-filing system to submit campaign finance disclosure reports. We will study making improvements to the e-filing platform to allow greater flexibility for users when generating filings for submission to the FEC with the goal of increasing consistency and accuracy of reporting. A new e-filing platform will allow users to file reports using any system, any device, from anywhere. This new architecture will provide an avenue for improved data quality, ease of filing, and improve the process of validating filings prior to acceptance. Consolidating the delivery of this data within a cloud-hosted environment will provide better integration for our new website. With a cloud-based platform, we will have the capability to adjust for heavy filing periods and oversized reports, one definite weakness in our current system. And data formats that carry their own metadata for simplified processing and disclosure. To meet the needs of users, the FEC will initiate this study starting next week. It will define a roadmap for improving the modernization of its electronic filing system and ensuring that the new application is fully integrated into the FEC's strategic technology initiatives. This study will look at the entire process and infrastructure and will provide an open platform that is no longer tied to a single proprietary technology. The sequence of how we approach this is very important. For example, creating new forms and extensively redesigning existing ones prior to this electronic filing study may create forms that will then require extensive modification, again to conform to whatever changes the Commission opts to make based on the results of the study. We suggest including, for example, comments from all sources as inputs for this study. We will be following the same agile development methodology that we're using with our current website redesign. And as we work with experts to help provide results and opportunities to incorporate many of the helpful suggestions. Now to the project that we just completed last week, the paper filing automation. This is focused, of course, on the Senate filers and others not required to file electronically. The agency has implemented a paper filing automation system to capture the data disclosed on paper filed campaign finance disclosure reports. This system replaces a manual data entry process in which the agency printed 1 million pages during the 2013-14 election cycle and sent these paper reports to a contractor for conversion into machine-readable data files. The new system includes templates, prototypes for paper reports, and consists of a two-step process that involves optical character recognition to capture information from each data field, and a second step, which may include human verification of specific data fields. The goal of the new system is to more quickly provide the public with itemized transaction-level data reported by the paper filers. This was a complex and intense project, and I would like to thank staff for their hard work and commitment in the implementation of this system. Specifically, to thank Paul Clark from OCIO and Ryan Lance and the entire reports processing branch within the reports analysis division. I'd also like to thank the commissioners for their individual and collective vision and support as it relates to these critical and timely initiatives. Without their backing, we would not be moving forward in these areas of improvements. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Palmer. I think, why don't we turn to Ms. Ciccone, and then after that, to the extent commissioners have questions or follow-up comments, we'll address those. Ms. Ciccone.
Good morning. Just want to go over the changes in the forms that you have before you now. The changes to the forms and their respective instructions consist of non-substantive and technical changes intended to assist with compliance, provide clearer disclosure, and make the forms more consistent with one another. To give one example, the existing schedule for disclosing a loan from a candidate to a committee includes a box for disclosure of the interest rate on the loan, but many of those loans are interest-free, and there has historically been confusion among filers about how to indicate an interest-free loan. So one of the revisions proposed today is to add to the relevant instructions guidance to enter zero in the interest field if the loan is interest-free. Other technical changes include, for example, the addition of physical separators within the address field, which will allow for data to be captured more accurately through the paper automation system Mr. Palmer just talked about. And the addition of the FEC committee identification number field on disbursement schedule B, which will increase the accuracy of contribution data in the FEC database. More specific changes include the addition of a personal funds checkbox to loan schedules C and CP of Forms 3, which are used by authorized committees, and Form 3P used by presidential committees. This will clarify when the personal funds of a candidate are being loaned to the committee. In addition, changes were made to the consolidation reports within Forms 3 and 3P, and adjustments were made to page numbers to make the forms easier to use. On Form 3X, which is used by unauthorized committees, Receipt Schedule A was revised to include full organization name to recognize the receipt of corporate and labor contributions by certain committee types. In addition, on Schedule LA, which is used to disclose the receipt of Levin funds, the principal place of business field has been removed to make the receipt schedules consistent. Finally, the Form 3X instructions include guidance on how to disclose estimates for independent expenditures that are not fully known at the time a report is due. And this was one of the things that was included in the rulemaking petition that you had just talked about. Happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you very much for those presentations. So we'll open up to the commission to ask any questions or make any comments. Commissioner Rowell.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question, but I want to say, first off, congratulations for all of this work. It's really important, and I was struck by something that Ms. Ciccone said, which was that the purpose of the commission is to assist with compliance and clearer disclosure, and that it is. The purpose of this commission is to provide disclosure to the public and to allow people to comply so that more people could participate in our political process. And this effort that was agreed upon by all commissioners is so significant, and what you're doing today should receive just major accolades, not just from us, but from the entire public. So thank you.
Any other questions? I just have a couple of follow-up questions that I wanted to ask. I know that one of the themes in the letter from the practitioners that we addressed earlier was frustration with numerous different transaction types being included on a single line on the report, which can create confusion for those who are filing, not knowing exactly do they include those, you know, which line should they include those distinct transaction types, and also can be confusing for the public when they try to because there might be an assumption that in every amount that is in a particular line would refer to only a specific type of transaction type, and trying to unpack the different types of transactions that might be included within a single sum makes it difficult for, you know, whether it's practitioners, general public, the media, to understand exactly what that number represents. And I was just wondering, are there some examples of that sort that you've been able to identify? And I'll open this to either Ms. Chacon or Mr. Palmer. And how would the electronic filing project that we're undertaking address those sorts of concerns, which did, I think, constitute a pretty large bulk of the concerns that were addressed in that letter.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So a couple examples come to mind, kind of starting now where we are with our current software fact file, which obviously is not web-based. One of the common complaints that we hear now relate to earmark contributions, and when you're talking about committees that have a lot of them to disclose, right now there's no ability to import files into FEC file software. So what ends up happening is they have to enter those individually, manually, which it takes a lot of time, obviously. So, if we were to go to a web-based system, then we would be able to conceivably import these files, so it would be easier, and they wouldn't have to go through that whole manual process. Another thing that comes to mind, I know that the petition covered a lot of this in terms of, like you said, categorizing, lumping all activity together, like on one line number. And that's true, like presently now, specifically for line 17, other receipts, we have, you know, all of the receipts coming in for the National Party Committee accounts lumped on that line, as well as any receipts coming in for the non-contribution account for the carry committees, whatever we want to call them. That creates confusion now. In a web-based environment, we envision users having more flexibility in being able to categorize their activity, in this format, where not so much specific line numbers, but it's more intuitive, where they'll be able to enter in specific types of activity into the system, and it'll allow them to see, you know, this is the type of activity, and enter it in rather than just lumping on one line number. So it will create different format specs on the back end, which will translate to the web-based system and allow them to kind of like our web forms 1 and 2 now. It's very intuitive. It takes you step by step on what types of activity, types of filers that you are, and brings you through that process. So that's how we envision it, that it will guide them through the process and allow them to be more specific with the types of activity that they actually are conducting.
As I've heard, I think I've heard this described as a potential analog, is that we want it to be kind of like TurboTax, where you take a form that can be somewhat dry and difficult to understand, and instead move away from that and have a much more intuitive and easy to understand interface, which I think many, just using the TurboTax model, makes it a lot easier for tax, people who are filing their own taxes to be able to do so in an accurate and complete way. Would that be a safe analogy to make to the electronic filing project that we're undertaking? I realize we're at the study phase, but is that...
Yes. I think basically what we're looking at is we look at the complete re-architecture of this process, everything from the front end of how people file all the way through the system to also in the database and how information is retrieved. And so all that is open for review to make it as simple as possible and to be able to make what is a complex process now easy for the filers and also at the end of the day also for those people that want to retrieve our data, to make it easier to grab different types of data much easier than they do now.
And I guess I'd ask Ms. Chacona this. I'd assume this would also make it easier for the analysts in the reports analysis division to actually be able to unpack what's going on with people who are filing with the commission.
Absolutely. And if they're able to understand what's going on, then maybe we're not going to send as many letters, right? So, yeah, absolutely. It would be much easier if we were able to see what types of activity were going on and separate, especially the issue that I just talked about with line 17. It's very confusing now to know what's going on that line with all the different types of categories that are included in it.
Okay. And so my understanding then is the of the many suggestions and the requested edits that to our forms that were included in that letter, some of which we're addressing through specific revisions to the forms that are before the commission now. It sounds like the more comprehensive change that I think that the petitioners were requesting is going to be better handled and to be more comprehensively handled through the upgrades to our electronic filing system.
That is correct.
Okay. And I guess just in terms of timing, I realize that we're still at a fairly initial stage in the process. So obviously, pinpointing any specific dates would be difficult. But are there any sort of broad guidelines that we might want to consider?
We anticipate that the study will be completed this calendar year. And depending on the results that come out of that study and the complexities of the change, the changes that the commission approves, the implementation, I would be cautious to indicate how long that may take. But certainly I think our goal is to, as we start on that in the calendar year of 2017, that would be, I think, a good undertaking for us to see what we could accomplish during that calendar year.
Okay. And then the final question that I have is just, from what I understand, when there are changes in the law or when there are proposed changes that we want to make to forms, that can then trigger a somewhat laborious process to update our current electronic filing system to accommodate those changes. But if we transition to this new kind of web-based model, it will allow for much greater flexibility and efficiency in terms of incorporating whatever changes happen, whether it's as a result of a statutory change, regulatory change, proposed form change, as a result of a court decision. Is that an accurate way to
characterize? That is certainly going to be one of the collateral benefits of this.
Okay. And then I guess, I said that was going to be the last question, but I just wanted to ask quickly OGC. I know one of the recommended changes to the forms that was in the letter wanted to update Form 1 to take into account the existence of super PACs or, independent expenditure-only political committees, whatever we want to call them. And if I recall, it's OGC's recommendation that the best course for dealing with that would be through first implementing a rule to define that term before incorporating that term into a new form. I just want to make sure that's an accurate representation, that we'd the best course would have a rulemaking on that first.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Are there any further questions from the commission? Commissioner Weintraub.
We should do that.
Okay. Let's put that to the top of the queue. Is there anything further? I would thank Mr. Palmer and Ms. Ciccone for their presentations, and I think that as we go forward, as we get the results of the study, I hope that we can have further updates so that the public can know where we are in this process, because I think that this does present a real opportunity for us to improve our filing system, and I think that it will have benefits on all ends. It will have benefits for the general public, whether or not you're an interested citizen or a member of the media or a group that takes our data and mixes and matches it in different ways. It will have benefits for those who are actually filing with the commission to better and more accurately be able to file their activity, and we'll have benefits to the commission so that we can have a better idea of the activity that's going on. So we look forward to hearing the results of this study, and again to have further updates as we progress through this year and into next.
So.
Vice Chairman.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. In connection with this, and this is a great step forward, it occurred to me that maybe we should not necessarily condense, but at least put it in the format and have it prominent on our website and invite people to keep watching it as they go along with their own suggestions, because I know, especially the practitioners, they're always asking, well, I think maybe it would be better if we could do this, or maybe we could do that, or are we going to do this? And I think maybe the input as we go along might be helpful.
I think that's a great suggestion. And one thing that we're going to continue to do with the same methodology in building our beta site is follow that exact same process with engaging the public and providing many opportunities for real-time feedback. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for those presentations. As for the next agenda item, the Reg 2013-01, the draft notice of proposed rulemaking on technological modernization. This was an issue that was first raised, I believe, last December. We have been working on this at the commission level. We wanted to put that on just as a heads up that the plan is, we have drafts that are being circulated back and forth between commission offices, trading edits, and with the plan being that we can vote on a notice of proposed rulemaking at the next meeting. And I hope that we can to move forward on that. I think that that's a very interesting issue, one that I think could be the subject of an interesting hearing. And but we look to pick that up at the next meeting. And finally, I will turn to Mr. Palmer. Do we have any management or administrative matters to consider?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Okay. All right, and that's the last item on our agenda. So I want to wish everybody a safe and enjoyable 4th of July weekend, and we will see everyone in 2 weeks. Meeting is adjourned.